In 2005, the Africa Hope Center opened its doors to five children, each of whom had lost both parents to HIV/AIDS. This center, which you may have heard me mention briefly last week at the parish picnic, was the creation of Joseph and Antonina Wamatutu, who, seeing the hopelessness of a disease that left so many without parents, began working with churches, community leaders, and some Western friends to cultivate funds and develop a leadership board that first convened in August 2004. 5 months later, the workers at the Africa Hope Center in Kayole, Kenya, met their first five children. After a year of operation, five had grown to 23. Today, there are 90. The center, as I understand from its own promotional materials, is first and foremost a home and a family for these children and teenagers who have lost both. Behind that is a vision of emotional care and spiritual nurture, of education and community designed to offer these children a renewed sense of hope, a newly woven fabric to stand in for the one that had become torn. They are offered counseling as well as food and shelter. The center's approach to spiritual nourishment includes fellowship, Bible study, and storytelling. Perhaps their storytelling gives them a chance to find healing through the sharing of their own stories, and a measure of comfort and grace in knowing that they are not alone in what they have lost. Admittedly, we are so far removed from what these children are going through that I'm a little reluctant to speak of what their lives might be like. But I do hear in this a vision of offering nurture and community to children who are so much in need, so vulnerable. I hear in this a desire on the part of Mr. and Mrs. Wamatutu to sow seeds of hope for each of these children. And they do so mindful of the soil, working first to assure, to the extent that they can, the physical and emotional health of the children, so that within these new chances at life, the seeds of hope and the seeds of faith can begin to take root. Now, the best stories are the ones that make sense to preschoolers. These are the best stories, of course, because they use simple and often vivid imagery, the kind that we can hear and say, that makes some sense to me. But they're also usually the best stories because they're built on ideas that hold deep meaning for the grown-ups as well. Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed, which begins tiny but grows to become the greatest of all shrubs. Now, I don't actually know anyone who grows the mustard plant, but I do have a sense of the scale of the mustard seed because of the many times that I have seen one scotch-taped to construction paper in a church school hallway. But don't be deceived by its quaintness. This morning's craft is rich in meaning. When a small child comes to us carrying the product of this morning's Sunday school lesson, they become, in a way, the walking incarnation of the metaphor itself. Our little sapling carrying the mustard seed, the child who we hope will grow in faith as she grows in years. But perhaps this child is herself the bearer of the seed, and we are the soil. For how else will that seed find its way back into our busy and oftentimes very serious homes, unless on a sheet of construction paper with the scotch tape bump and an illegible signature in the corner, that quickly finds its way onto our refrigerator or onto the corkboard? Perhaps, in clear evidence of adaptation, the mustard seed has itself chosen the most vibrant color of construction paper so that it is not so easily thrown in the trash. The seed has this way found its way in and planted itself, so that maybe when we ourselves are feeling a little bit hopeless, we can go up to the artwork on the fridge and peel back the scotch tape just enough to shake the seed loose and let it fall into our hands, to see just how small it is, to see what God can do with such a humble start. If our eyes are open to them, we can see the seeds of faith scattered all around the soil of our lives. Sometimes, though, I think we can see them best in the stories of others. As I read about Mr. and Mrs. Wamatutu, I thought of the first seeds of an idea that must have formed within them as their hearts ached for the children who had lost parents. Out of compassion for this loss, out of a wish to see these children live lives free of the stigma that it created, out of their desire to restore hope to the hopeless, they nurtured this new thing as it grew within them. Then they did a little sowing of their own, reaching out to those who could help them, to those who were open to having some seeds planted in their hearts. The Africa Hope Center grew from humble beginnings to a center overflowing with children who themselves became seeds, having come from a place of broken hearts and barren soil to this place where they could again find nurture. These are the seeds of faith as they begin to take root. Last week at the picnic, I had the pleasure of announcing what the children of St. Paul's have accomplished over the past year through the children's offering that happens each Sunday. They had themselves chosen a group called Smile Train, which for $250 will perform a cleft palate surgery repair on a child who couldn't afford it otherwise. Last year, they raised, and this is the flurry of children who joyfully run down waving their dollar bills. Last year, they raised over $2,100. That's enough for 8 operations, for 8 children who were given this tremendous gift of self-esteem, for 8 children who were given a chance for a more normal life. Talk about seeds of faith. To see what $1 waved above the head of a child who runs down with such excitement that he forgets where his parents were sitting, to see what that can accomplish. That dollar is a seed. It comes in and it goes out and it bears fruit. Now, it feels good to be able to share that with you, to quantify what comes of our gifts. But the way I see it, we already see the fruit here in our lives because it is the child who has learned to give that becomes the seed of faith. It's us, the parents, the adults, the older children, if you will, who really need to have our eyes reopened to the work of the sower. When you can turn on the news and hear about hundreds of billions of dollars going this way and that, when we can see images of what Mr. and Mrs. Wamatutu deal with every day and try to think about what it would take to try to begin to reverse that, when we think about all the needs out there that are served, $2,100 doesn't seem like very much. It's easy to become cynical about what we can do and what we can't do, and about how much of an impact we as individuals can make. Perhaps that's why the children do the offering and we don't, because they haven't yet learned about cynicism. We grown-ups know something about it, sometimes understandably, but often to the detriment of these seeds of faith that need the nourishment of hope. Perhaps we need the joy and the enthusiasm of children to remind us that God is the God of each and every one of us. That just as God knows and loves each one of us, God knows and loves each one of the 8 children who experienced firsthand the grace and the gifts of the doctors who donated their time for the surgery, of the organizers and the fundraisers who got it started, and of the first grader who ran down to the altar to deposit the dollar. It was never really his anyway. This past spring, the elder statesmen and women of the children's ministry, by that I mean the rising fifth graders, chose a new charity for this coming year. They chose the Africa Hope Center. And because of this leadership by our children, we are now bound in faith and in relationship with a community of children and caregivers many thousands of miles and, quite honestly, several worlds away. But we know that just as there were 8 children last year whose lives were directly touched by our children, we know that there are 90 more in Kaole, Kenya, whose lives, we hope, are beginning to see the first shoots of new growth. Perhaps we can learn to see God's world through the wide eyes of those who run in church, because in doing so, we begin to see that we are all mustard seeds. As we grow in faith, we discover not only that we share the same sower as those who live a world away, but that through the care of these smallest gardeners, we too can see new things grow within us. Let us keep them in our prayers and ask them to remember us in theirs.